beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
To Tooncast Beyond. This is the Animation Direction Spotlight. This is the sixth overall episode out of 12 for the Animation Direction Spotlight. I am one of your hosts, TFJ and Mike. Joining me is TV's Mr. Neil.
Good grief. I couldn't think of anything else.
All I can think of is the doctor is in.
Yeah, that was the other one.
Oh, man. And tonight we're going to be talking about the life and career of Bill Melendez.
Otherwise known as the guy who made all those wonderful Charlie Brown cartoons.
Yep. November 15th, 1916, all the way up to September 2nd, 2008. May you rest in peace, sir. He was a character animator, film director, voice artist, and producer known for his cartoons at Walt Disney Productions, working on four classical Disney films, Pinocchio, Fantasia, Dumbo, and Bambi.
Wow.
Yep. He also worked at UPA and the Peanuts series. Melendez provided the voices of Snoopy and Woodstock in the latter as well. You know, I remember seeing the DVD special features of the Peanuts stuff and people talking about Bill Melendez and you know, he really was... Okay, sure, Charles Schulz is the creator, obviously, of the Peanuts characters and premise and whatever else, but Melendez really helped bring his vision from the comic strip to the screen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when I hear Bill Melendez's name, all I can think about is Peanuts.
Yeah, he definitely gave Peanuts a style in animation. He took the style from the comic and gave it a presence on the screen. Whereas I don't think without him it would have been anywhere near the same. I mean, maybe like some other director would have done something different, something that would be equally as good, but it definitely would not have been the same thing. He had his own unique way of adapting these characters and the way they're drawn into animation, because if you look at how the characters are drawn from different angles, like, you know, how Linus holds his blanket and sucks his thumb, mm-hmm. from different angles, that it doesn't really work. You know, if you try to like rotate the character, it's like the way his arm is drawn, it kind of deforms depending on what angle it's at. So Melendez had to kind of work around Schulz's style and come up with something that wouldn't be strange when you watched it. He came up with something that was really that really worked for what the characters were, how they were drawn, and what Schulz's style was. So, so he was, it's hard to really put him in any other context, because I can't really think of anything specifically that he has ever done that was not Peanuts. So it's hard to really comment about him outside the context of the Charlie Brown cartoons.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because he did work with Clampett and McKimson as an animator, I believe.
Right.
Over at Warner's. But, like, I've said this before in this animation direction special that we've been doing here on Tooncast Beyond, that I tend to look at all the credits when I see the Looney Tunes stuff on Cartoon Network, and I don't think I'm going to really have to look for his name again on some of the McKimson stuff, because I've never noticed it. Like Peanuts is what I know him for, you know. And the funny thing about Snoopy and Woodstock is Schultz did not want English dialogue coming out of their mouths.
Right.
So all as it was Bill doing vocal effects, and then they sped them up to fit the characters, which is really interesting. I think the most interesting thing is, and I'm very happy that they're doing this, is kind of the last thing that is kind of mentioned in his wiki article, is that the last Peanuts-related production he worked on was the 2006 He's a Bully, Charlie Brown. Archive recordings of his work as Snoopy and Woodstock will be utilized for the upcoming Peanuts feature film.
Oh, excellent.
So, now that was cited, let's see, Russ Fleischer, new Peanuts movie, first look, cited from Slash Film, so I take them at their word. And actually right now the wiki article for that Peanuts movie only has Bill on the cast as the archival.
He's the first actor cast.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to premiere in November of next year.
That looks really well animated too. I mean, for CG, that's, it's got the style of the Peanuts somehow working in three dimensions. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And honestly, it doesn't really, I see Peanuts to me. I mean, sure, we have those classic voices of Lucy and Linus and Charlie Brown and, you know, Peppermint Patty and Marcy. But to me, I always noticed every now and then that they would change. Not necessarily, I mean, because I believe in the documentaries and some of the collection DVDs, like Great Pumpkin and Christmas and whatever else, they actually cast children.
Right.
That's what Schultz wanted. He wanted children to do it. So it wasn't like, you know, we could just associate... Not saying this would ever happen, but, you know, oh my God, Peter Cullen is Linus and Frank Welker is Charlie Brown.
Never happened.
You know, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, because they were just children at the time back in the 60s, like, I have, like, obviously when we watch the main classics, Great Pumpkin, you know, Christmas, Valentine, what's another one? Thanksgiving. You know, when we watch those classics, yes, we expect some, but honestly, with this new movie, I don't know what to expect out of the voices from these characters, and honestly, I'm more than fine with it, because it's been so damn long since the voices were even thought of, really, unless you watch, because, I mean, honestly, these Peanuts things, I mean, unless you're watching, like, the Camptown Races one, or, you know, heaven forbid you're watching, you know, Rerun.
Oh, God.
You know, I mean, most of these specials are holiday themed, and, you know, most of the Peanuts cartoons are set around, like, I don't watch It's a Great Pumpkin and Charlie Brown on St. Patrick's Day. I don't watch, you know, It's a Charlie Brown Christmas on Easter. You just don't do, and they even have the Easter Beagle Charlie Brown, so they already have an Easter special, so there you go. I would have to say that the Peanuts, and I know we've talked about this, we've said on this little spotlight here that the Looney Tunes directors did those cartoons for themselves. They're for adults. There are adult jokes in them. They're not for children. Schultz, he wanted a social. I don't even know. Think it would be a. I don't know. You can correct me. I don't think it would be a social commentary, but he wanted some sort of commentary or lesson. He wanted it. It wasn't that. It was, you know, it was some PTA board saying, "Oh, you can't show that cartoon unless you have a PSA in it somewhere." Mm. It wasn't that at all. He wanted people to be educated about certain things that he felt most passionate about, and it was just one of those things where, you know, you have these kids giving us these grown-up lessons. That being said, I mean, it's still, you know, we all laugh like hell when Lucy pulls the football away.
Yeah, I like that there's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek way of having social messages in these cartoons. Like, I think the most obvious one is the Christmas special, just because there's kind of like an anti-consumerist message in there. And it almost gets a little heavy-handed, but you also have to remember that that special was sponsored by Coca-Cola, and when I say it was sponsored, I mean heavily sponsored. Like, there were original animated segments in there that had Coca-Cola cans and stuff all throughout that cartoon. They had to reanimate some of that to get that out of there for later airings. And if you ever watch that special now, you'll notice that it cuts out at the end, like right as the song is coming to its end, the audio will just drop. Mm-hmm. That's because in the original airing, there was a guy who says, "Brought to you by your local Coca-Cola bottler," and so there's no way to take that out of the audio, so they just mute it. So that's why it does that. It's there. I love that the most anti-consumer one is the one that's filled with the most with the most sponsorship. So whether that was intentional or just ironic, I do appreciate that, because I don't like heavy-handed messages in my cartoons. So yeah. I like that there was that little swerve to that one. Other times, I think the cartoons just had a wicked sense of humor. It's just like, you know, things go wrong and there's really no way to like kind of segue out of it. It's just kind of like, yep, that's what happened. Like the one that's like a favorite to a lot of people, even though it's like the most depressing, it's Snoopy Come Home, which is the one where Snoopy gets a letter from his original owner. Mm. And it's actually very sad, because Snoopy decides to leave Charlie Brown, and the whole cartoon is just so depressing. And it's first Snoopy leaves, but he comes back, but he only comes back to give away his stuff. And he's like, and there's this long agonizing scene where like they're saying goodbye to Snoopy. You know, he's about to leave. They're throwing him this going away party, and he's giving away his stuff. And then he leaves, and there's the famous song by Thurl Ravenscroft where he's like, "No dogs allowed." And so Snoopy comes back, and immediately he turns into a jerk again. He demands all his stuff back, and there's no moral to it. It's just like, yeah, Snoopy's a jerk. Mm-hmm. I love that punchline.
You know, see, that's the thing. It's like, so basically, when you told me this, because I don't remember seeing Snoopy Come Home, but when you're talking about the beginning part of the plot, and the first thing I can think of is, oh my god, they trowel-fazed it. Poor Astro.
Yeah, they kind of did.
Exact same plot happened in the Jetsons with Astro. He finds out that he was owned by someone else at one point or another, and his name with those owners was Trowel-Faz. And he's like, Trowel-Faz, yuck.
Yeah, but this was actually really touching. Snoopy,
well,
Snoopy
yes.
cared about his original owner. His original owner was this little girl named Lila. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he obviously cared about her a lot and was very loving and very dedicated to her. And then, like, just the end where they throw in this swerve where, yeah, Snoopy's going to be a jerk again. We're in a Peanuts cartoon again. You don't have to cry anymore.
One of the reasons why I have not noticed Bill Melendez in some of the Looney Tunes stuff is because he was credited as animator as J.C. Melendez by his actual name and his actual initials of his name. So that's one of the reasons why I've never noticed his name in the credits for the shorts. He worked on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that might be a Schlesinger thing. The Schlesinger was like, you have to use your real name.
Yeah. No. He worked on the 1982 Here Comes Garfield TV short as a producer. Some of these Charlie Brown shorts, I have never seen. Snoopy's Getting Married, Charlie Brown, never seen it. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, some
is
of them
this?
Are very weird.
Yeah. He worked on a TV movie as a producer, The Romance of Betty Boop.
I wish I had seen that before this podcast. It would have, like I said earlier, it would have given me some context for what the animation style was. Because it's hard to divorce it from the Peanuts.
Yeah, it really is. And let's face it, I mean, most of his credits here are Peanuts stuff. I mean, as I said earlier, that's what he's known for. And it was so great that he worked on all this stuff. And it just really, really was.
And it's hard to... What's also hard to kind of separate out is which of these were actually feature films and which of these were just TV specials, because they were all animated very well. So It's hard to really separate what was what. I mean, I know all the holiday specials were obviously TV, but there were theatrical movies and then there were TV movies, and they all fit together as far as I'm concerned. They're all really good.
His first actual credited role as an animator was as C. Melendez, 1945's Wagon Heels. It says it was a short. Porky leads a wagon train into Injun Joe territory finally comes up against fearsome Super Chief. But Sloppy Moe, a survivor of a previous Injun Joe attack, knows something about him he won't tell until the very end. And this was a Clampett cartoon, obviously. You know, Injun Joe should be a dead giveaway for a Clampett cartoon.
Yes.
So that was his first act, because most of his beginnings, like, he is uncredited on all four of those Disney films, which is a damn shame.
Right.
He is uncredited on Wabbit Twubble. He's uncredited on The Wisecracking Duck. He's uncredited on Falling Hair. And, you know, like I said, Wagon Heels was the first one. You know, so there's that. But, I mean, the man has done a lot of stuff. Oh my God. He's the guy that I never knew this. He was the animator for the titles of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. That is amazing. That is friggin' awesome.
I do remember hearing that. Yeah. I'd completely forgotten about that.
I love that movie. So let's see. It's your wait. What? Oh, that came out in 85. Oh, it's a documentary. Okay. Yeah. It's your 20th television anniversary, Charlie Brown. And it's he was a producer for 18 episodes on Charlie Brown and Snoopy show from 83 to 85. So that's a, you know, interesting. It's America Charlie Brown TV miniseries short. Yep. You know, I love his style. I love seeing, you know, his name obviously attached to all this stuff. just the fact that he is, even though they're sped up, just the fact that he was the voice of Snoopy in Woodstock. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gave those characters such personality. You know, I bet they even used his archival stuff for those MetLife commercials.
Probably.
Yeah. I would assume so, because, you know, they replaced, didn't replace, but they updated the casting for Mr. Peabody for that movie that just came out. And it's not the same as the original, but I understand why they did it. I'm glad that they're not going to be doing it for these characters, because they are just so classic.
Yeah.
So, so classic. Anything else you wanted to bring up about him?
Well, I'm just looking at the wiki here, and I'm looking through the movies. There were 4 theatrical films, mm-hmm. which were, Okay, here we go. A Boy Named Charlie Brown, Snoopy Come Home, Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown, and Bon Voyage, Charlie Brown, and Don't Come Back. But there was, like I said, there were some TV specials. I'm trying to figure out which one was the one where he was doing the spelling bee, and he misspelled Beagle. Because that was a feature-length one, but I don't think it was a theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
But that was pretty fun. There were so many. I know there were some that were not holiday specials, but they were on TV, and I'm just not finding them because it's just there's so much here. But yeah, like I wish there was more to say, because this was pretty much the entirety of his career. Well, not really, because obviously he was at Warner and Disney, but like as far as like what he's known for, this is like this is his legacy. It's just the Peanuts. Mm-hmm. And I really need to like go back and find these. They don't really air them anymore. I think some of them are on DVD. I hope really all of them should be, because they're all really good. Mm-hmm. At least from like the 60s up until maybe the mid 80s. I don't know how much he worked on Peanuts after that. I know there were lots of TV specials that came out in the late 80s and 90s that he may not have been involved with that much, and they're really not mm-hmm. that good. Like anything with a rerun. That's not his fault at all, or like the fault of people who maybe took over the cartoons. That's just Charles Schulz. I don't know what he was thinking when he created a rerun.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway.
According to TV shows on DVD.com, as far as season releases, the 60s collection is one full DVD release that came out in 2009. And then the 70s collection, volume 1 and 2, came out in 2009 and 2010 respectively. And then we have all the individual episode releases like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown Christmas Tales, Happiness is a Warm Blanket, Charlie Brown, let's see, Snoopy's Adventures, Peanuts Snow Day, He's Your Dog, Charlie Brown, I Want a Dog for Christmas, it's the Easter Beagle, Great Pumpkin, Thanksgiving, 40th Anniversary, oh my god, that movie is 40 years old. Whew. And then there are some individual episode releases, most of them are like non-deluxe versions of what I've already stated here. Trying to see if there's any of the ones that you mentioned. I don't. It's the Pied Piper, Charlie Brown. Lucy Must Be Traded, Charlie Brown. Oh, Lord. Between him and Charles Schulz, the two comics, the two Sunday strips I always loved reading as a kid were Garfield and Peanuts.
Mm.
Those two always went together hand in hand for me every Sunday. And sure, I didn't really get some of the Peanuts strips, but it didn't really matter because I love the characters. I wish IDW would get some sort of licensing to do like Charlie Brown comics or something like that, because that would be so to do a Snoopy and Woodstock comic, that would be amazing. I mean, hell, if IDW can do a Dexter's Lab miniseries or a Powerpuff Girls comic or, you know, Rocky and Bullwinkle, I'm sure they could get, you know, Peanuts. Is that strip still running new stuff or no?
What?
Peanuts.
Peanuts? No, it's all reruns.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we talked about the kids earlier, the kids that they would cast for the voices. I think some of the girls may have lasted longer just because their voices don't change as much as the boys.
Yeah.
And I remember reading somewhere that what they would do is they would kind of they would give the kids their lines in like little snippets, which kind of gave it like that Peanuts delivery. Like Peanuts has a very distinct acting style, the way the kids talk, and it's hard to describe, but you know a Peanuts cartoon when you hear it just by the delivery of the kids, and so that was kind of built into the style, and I'm curious to see if they try to duplicate that for the new movie. They could in theory, but like I was saying earlier, like it's hard for me to differentiate the movies from the TV specials sometimes. Like, You're a Good Sport, Charlie Brown. When I was a kid, there was no real difference between that sort of TV special and the movies, because they all pretty much look the same in terms of quality. So that kind of explains why I'm kind of scatterbrained on this episode, because it just all runs together. It's like there's so much goodness in Peanuts that I kind of forget like what's a holiday special, what was like a primetime special, and what was a movie, because it's all pretty much the same in my memory. Whereas like, you know, some of the cartoons that we grew up with, we can tell the theatrical releases from the afternoon TV shows, because very, very different qualities.
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, that's like looking at the Jetsons from the 60s to the 80s. Two completely different decades, two completely different styles.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, and honestly, seriously, no offense to anyone, especially Mr. Melendez, may he rest in peace, that worked on the TV series stuff for Peanuts. For me, Peanuts is the specials.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the animated stuff, it is the specials. That's what makes it work, because it didn't need to rely on, you know, 65 half hours of children's programming.
Yeah, it was good that it did.
It was a special. It was, like I said earlier, I don't watch It's a Great Pumpkin all that often. I didn't even watch it like two or three nights, you know, last week when it came on ABC or whoever has the television rights to show it now. Like, I didn't watch it then. You know, I mean, well, let's face it. We live in an age where we're recording this October 17th, 2014. Halloween is not for at least another 10 or so days. You know, and it's like, seriously, you're showing the Halloween shit this damn early already, and it's not even, like, any specials for me should air at some point on that holiday. If it's a specific holiday special, run it on that damn, how is it going to hurt ABC to run It's a Great Pumpkin on Friday night, the 31st of October? I mean, you know, it's not like ABC has a crap ton of programming on Friday nights right now. You know what I mean? It's like, seriously. I absolutely agree. It's one of those, you know, one of those things that I'm glad it never was kind of a long-running, like, Smurfs type of show where it had to be, this number of episodes to sustain it, and it was a once in a while thing, and that was good. There was
the Saturday morning version, but I don't remember how good that was. I remember it being acceptable. So maybe it was on the quality of the Garfield cartoon. So it might have been good, but I just don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what I want to see now is I want to see a Garfield Heathcliff team up movie.
Oh my god.
throw in a little Top Cat to oh god. All the cartoon cats unite, you know. Especially the ones with the sword.
Yeah. See, another kind of punchline to that Christmas special is it's all about anti-consumerism, yet Peanuts basically sold out everywhere, and then you have a comic like Calvin and Hobbes, which absolutely refused to. So, and I don't remember Calvin and Hobbes ever coming close to having that sort of heavy-handed message. So, again, I appreciate the irony. So, there's that.
Absolutely. So coming up next on Tooncast Beyond's Animation Direction, I'm going to have to do a lot of research, ladies and gentlemen, because the only thing I know by these guys is the old 40s Superman cartoon. I know, it's sad, I'm sorry. We're going to be talking about the Fleischers.
They also did Popeye.
Yeah, okay.
And Betty Boop. So you know them.
Yeah. And, you know, the saddest thing is, all as I can remember from Betty at this point is, I still got it, Eddie. Oh, Lord. All right. Anything you would like to pimp out, sir?
Just dasien.com, dasien.com. It's updating. Irregularly, but it's updating. Should awesome. Be a new page up maybe by the time you're listening to this.
Are you gonna do a Halloween special this year?
I have a Halloween themed episode, but it probably won't be up on Halloween.
Oh, so you're gonna fox it, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of late, but, you know, better late than never. The Christmas episode should be right on time, though. Yeah.
That's good. All right. You can catch us on geekcastradio.com. You can leave us feedback through email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Call the Wasteman line, 502-526-5821. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, whether it's a screen name or whatever. There is a 5 to 10 minute time limit. As I already said, coming up next, we're going to talk about the Fleischers. Then after that is Walter Lance. So that's going to do it for now. We will catch you later.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at Geekcast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game like Fact or Fiction or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy, who will win in a fight, taking too far, crazy but true news, or...
Yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles, taking timeless topics in new directions, every Tuesday on iTunes or geekcastradio.com, the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's Dasien, the superhero webcomic. Dasien's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at Dasien.com. DASIEN.com.
Remote Control is the new TV podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. We'll be covering TV shows and topics from the year 2000 to whenever now is. We'll have special themed episodes entitled Pilot and Season Premieres, as well as finishing finales. We'll also have Season Pass episodes, where we take a look at an entire season of a TV show. Remote Control can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and www.geekcastradio.com. So tune in, because we are all remote controlled.
Say, Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TF2 and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
Jarvis. Hey.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?